Hello, and welcome to Notes in the Week Ahead, a JP Morgan Asset Management podcast that provides insights on the markets and the economy to help you stay informed in the week ahead.
Hello, this is David Kelly. I'm Chief Strategist here at JP Morgan Asset Management. Today is April 15th, 2024. Growing up in New England, our sons had a privileged childhood as sports fans, and particularly as football fans. Between 2001 and 2020, the New England Patriots, coached by Bill Belichick, with Tom Brady at quarterback, competed in 9 Super Bowls and won 6 of them. A truly extraordinary performance in a league of 32 teams. It's all the more impressive because of the NFL's efforts to make the league competitive. These include the salary cap, which forces all teams to spend roughly the same on the rosters, and the draft, which awards the top picks to the worst teams for the year before. And yet the dynasty continued for almost 2 decades, with the Patriots winning many games that they should have lost due to their own confidence and their opponents' doubts. And the supposedly eroding effects of low draft picks seemed to have little impact on the team, as relatively unknown players found a way to win. And then finally, it all came to an end. Tom Brady moved on to Tampa Bay, a dearth of star receivers hamstrung the offense, and new quarterbacks, lacking Brady's confidence, now found ways to lose games they should have won. A team that we had come to believe would always win has now had a losing season in 3 of the last 4 years. In a similar way, many investors have come to believe that the US dollar will always remain at a level that seems overvalued based on fundamentals. But it's only prudent to consider what might happen if this dollar's strength turned to weakness. Before examining this, however, let's take a look at the economic data and events that could impact markets in the week ahead. Numbers due out this week include retail sales and inventories on Monday, and housing starts and industrial production on Tuesday. These reports, combined with other numbers in housing and manufacturing, should fill in some of the gaps on estimates of economic activity in the first quarter. Overall, it appears that first quarter real GDP grew by between 1 and 3% annualized, representing only a modest slowdown from the 3.1% year-over-year pace seen over the course of 2023. The first quarter earnings season will get into full swing this week, with 39 S&P 500 companies set to report. Corporate profits appear to have been solid, with analysts expecting a 3.2% year-over-year gain in pro forma earnings. Meanwhile, last week's CPI report was a little hotter than expected, and this, combined with still very solid economic momentum, has undermined hopes for 3 rate cuts this year, starting in June. Futures markets are now pricing in just a 20% shot of a June rate cut, and only a 68% shot of 2 rate cuts this year. We continue to expect inflation to drift down slowly in an environment of solid gains in both economic activity and corporate profits. While this does suggest a healthy economy overall, it's not particularly good news for the bond market. It's also having the impact of further delaying a long overdue decline in the dollar. This is important for investors since a key catalyst in achieving better returns in international equities and international assets in general would be a resumption of the dollar decline. This being the case, it's worth reviewing the recent behavior of the dollar and why its decline has stalled out, how the strong dollar is impacting the economic environment, when the dollar decline could resume, and finally, what does all of this mean for investors? One easy way to see the broad trend in the exchange rate is to look at the US dollar index, or DXY, which is a weighted index of the dollar's value against the currencies of 6 major trading partners, namely the euro, the Japanese yen, the British pound, the Canadian dollar, the Swiss franc, and the Swedish krona. The DXY increased very steadily from the spring of 2008 at the onset of the great financial crisis to the fall of 2022 in the aftermath of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, rising by 60% in 14 and a half years. Part of this climb can be ascribed to impressive U.S. economic performance. Despite a battering from the great financial crisis, the U.S. economy saw uninterrupted economic growth between June 2009 and February 2020, marking the longest economic expansion in American history. Moreover, while economic growth turned sharply negative in the pandemic, the recovery in the U.S. was remarkably strong. Corporate profit margins also rose over this period, encouraging foreign purchases of U.S. equities, while U.S. interest rates, although generally low, remained higher than in other developed countries. However, the dollar's strength could equally be ascribed to the weakness of our trading partners. In the DXY, the euro, the British pound, and the Japanese yen have a combined weight of over 83%. In the aftermath of the global financial crisis, Japan continued to languish in a near-deflation economy, the euro fell as a result of the European debt crisis, and Britain abandoned its most important trading bloc. In addition to this, the US dollar, despite a pretty reckless fiscal policy, has always been seen as a safe haven currency in times of crisis. Thus, the great financial crisis, the tariff war, the pandemic recession, and the Ukraine war were all seen as reasons for investors to hide in US dollars. The rising dollar has had some positive effects over the years in restraining inflation and encouraging flows into US financial assets. thereby boosting wealth and reducing financing costs for American corporations and the federal government. However, it's also had some seriously negative consequences. First, the United States has now run a current account trade deficit for 32 straight years, as the yawning trade deficit in goods has dominated a surplus in services. In 2023, the current account deficit amounted to $818 billion, or 3% of GDP. On the surface, this may seem like just an accounting entry. However, it reflects two very negative impacts of a too high dollar. First, the high dollar has decimated the manufacturing base of the U.S. economy. In 1991, the last year in which the United States ran a trade surplus, there were more than 17 million manufacturing workers in the United States, representing over 15% of total employment. Today, that is down to less than 14 million workers, or just over 8% of employment. This reduction in manufacturing jobs has eaten away at a key pathway by which Americans without a college degree could achieve a middle-class lifestyle. Second, it has increased our foreign obligations. At the end of 2023, foreign holdings of U.S. assets exceeded U.S. holdings of foreign assets by $19.8 trillion, up from $16.2 trillion just a year earlier. While some of this is foreign holdings of U.S. treasuries, the biggest part is foreign holdings of U.S. equities. Over time, this means that a large chunk of the profits and interest payments of U.S. corporations will be diverted overseas, rather than funding consumption and investment in the U.S. So where does the dollar go from here? Well, after peaking in September 2022, the dollar index fell by 11% in less than 6 months. This reflected the perception then that the Federal Reserve was likely to wind down its monetary tightening, even as the ECB and Bank of England continued to tighten in the face of inflation, and the Bank of Japan finally ended negative rates. It was also fed by a view that the U.S. economy was likely to slow and could very well enter recession in 2023. As it turned out, the U.S. economy actually accelerated throughout 2023, postponing any Fed pivot, while growth languished and inflation fell in Europe and the U.K. Meanwhile, although Japan has finally abandoned negative interest rates, its monetary tightening has been extremely cautious so far, leading to a further decline in the yen. As a result of this, the dollar's decline has stalled out, with the DXY now actually up almost 5% from its level in February 2023. Given current trends, it's hard to predict a near-term resumption of the dollar decline. However, over the next year, the U.S. economy should see slower growth and the Federal Reserve should reduce interest rates. Meanwhile, the Eurozone should see some pickup in consumption and fiscal spending, while the Bank of Japan should get more serious about normalizing policy. This could allow the dollar decline to resume, boosting the return on international investments. However, for American investors, investing overseas in non-dollar denominated assets has as much to do with reducing risk as boosting expected returns. U.S. equities trade at a much higher P.E. ratio than their counterparts in Europe or Japan, and the gap is much more than can be explained by industry mix alone. While the U.S. economy is still growing, it's not invulnerable, and high and growing public debt combined with political polarization are a threat to the U.S. economy, U.S. assets, and the U.S. dollar. For our own family as fans, the end of the Patriots dynasty has forced us to diversify into other sports and, I hesitate to admit, in some cases support the teams of other cities. For investors who have long basked in the warm glow of the dollar dynasty, it also makes sense to diversify. In short, while the near-term outlook for the U.S. remains favorable, there are increasing reasons not to put all your financial eggs in a dollar-denominated basket.
Well, that's it for this week. Please tune in again next week, and if you have any questions in the meantime, please reach out to your J.P. Morgan representative.
This content is intended for information only based on assumptions and current market conditions and are subject to change. No warranty of accuracy is given. This content does not contain sufficient information to support investment decisions. It is not to be construed as research, legal, regulatory, tax, accounting, or investment advice. Investments involve risks. Investors should seek professional advice or make an independent evaluation before investing. The value of investments and the income from them may fluctuate, including loss of capital. Past performance and yield are not indicative of current or future results. Forecasts and estimates may or may not come to pass. J.P. Morgan Asset Management is the asset management business of J.P. Morgan Chase & Company and its affiliates worldwide.